Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by my great fucking friend, Nikki Hands.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Good to see you, man. Nikki, actually, it's Nikki Hands Manolis. No disrespect to your last name. I'm not even going to say the other ones because they're all kind
of
disrespectful.
We got a lot of nicknames. Nikki Hands, a.k.a. Cousin Nikki, you name it. We got a lot of nicknames.
Yes, sir. So, I'm very happy to have you here, man, on a for real, because for those of you who don't know, Nick and I go way, way, way back. This is going to be more of like a leisure podcast. We're just going to have fun talk so you get to know who I am. And these episodes are necessary for people to basically see how I correlate with, you know, my friends, you know. And it's like, throughout this podcast, I want you to think to yourself if I am any different from when we're just having a regular conversation to when I'm in front of the camera, okay? Just keep that in mind as we're going through this episode, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
So, it's just going to be more of a leisure podcast. You know, we're just going to talk, shoot the shit, have some fun, get to know each other. You've had one hell of a life. You're one excellent man. And I've been trying to get you on this podcast for a while now, but 9 times out of 10, you were busy doing something else, you know,
right?
Like serving our country.
Like I say, people say, oh, what do you do? I like to look at myself as a jack of all trades. And to be honest, after seeing the setup and seeing you grow, I got to tip my hat off to you, bro. Like this studio is official. And I remember you starting out with it. It was like a hobby, but I could tell you're truly passionate about it. I'm really on your side, so I'd like to see the future of this podcast and see what you do.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. As someone who actually listens, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy because there's so many of my friends, who, you know, they'll want to come on a podcast, but they won't even take a listen, you know? And right. I know even before you and I mentioned, you know, you coming on an episode and having a podcast with me, you were like, yo, I listened to this episode. I really enjoyed it. I listened to that episode. I really enjoyed it. You know, so I really appreciate that coming from you. Just as like as a person who has seen me grow and just like, you know, a matter of a person and in a podcasting game.
Right.
You know, like, of course, it's always been a hobby. It's still a hobby, so to speak. Right. When does it become a job? Does it become a job when I get paid? Or does it become a job? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's always going to be a hobby. You know what I mean?
I think that it's one of those things that, you know, maybe one day you go to work kicks your ass, or you lost sleep the night before, and you know you're supposed to do the podcast, but there's going to be some days where you don't want to, but mm-hmm. the fact that you have the discipline that you're going to do it anyway, that's what sets certain people that's what sets them up against the rest, you know what I'm saying? And that's what will get you to the pinnacle of your career, and you know, with the future of this podcast.
My goals, my aspirations for this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you're stiff, bro. Loosen up, bro.
Yeah. Wait. I know. Yeah. I did one shot before here. I'm trying to get loose, but I gotta be honest. I know Kevin since we got close in the 8th grade, and we're always shooting the shit. He's like one of those friends. Like, I could go months without talking to him. And then as soon as we pick up the phone, I start talking to him. It's just like where we left off, you know?
Yeah.
But I gotta say, man, this is official. I got the lights, you got the cameras, the microphone. It's, you know, I'll get better. You know, I'm still loosening up.
Of course,
up, man. You know?
Of course. Yeah, we got this tablecloth now. That's official as fuck. We got these little condensers on the mic, so you won't hear anyone say penis or like a crazy pee or some shit. You know, it won't be as bad.
Yeah.
So that so that's good to know. I don't know why I did that, but hey, you know, that shit just happened. All right. Hey, man. So yeah, we go back to the 8th grade, man. We've gone through some stuff. You know, like I mentioned, you were a Marine, and that's one of the craziest things that I think is about you. You know, you talk about my discipline, bro. I'm disciplined in certain things, but you're disciplined in certain aspects of life that I really have the most respect for, like such as, you know, your financials, your workout methods, your job, you know, like you don't want to call out. And what do you credit that to, man? Like you have this Italian accent that's fucking crazy because your mom and dad don't
Staten
have an accent.
Island. It's yeah. the Staten Island accent. I drop my R's. We don't pronounce our R's too well. Yeah. And you know what's funny? I was thinking about, there's a lot of things that I credit my discipline to, but, you know, one of them, I think for both of us was, football, bro.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, Kevin and I, we got a lot of stories.
Dude, I got my shit knocked.
We got knocked around sophomore year. I'm like, Kevin, I don't want to do this no more, bro. Like, there was no substitutions for us. We were against the varsity team all practice long, getting our asses knocked in. And but we kept going, you know. There was a couple times we wanted to hide in the porta potties, but, you know, coaches always found us. And
There's been a couple times that I legit hid in a porta potty because I was fucking afraid of getting knocked, bro. I can literally tell you, I remember sophomore year, and sophomore year was the toughest year of football for me, right? And it's like, I remember going up to one of the coaches. I unfortunately can't remember. You know, Coach Mason was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Black Mason, not the white Mason.
Okay.
Black Mason,
okay. Yeah.
I went up to him. I said, Coach, I said, I don't want to do this anymore, Coach. I legit cried in front of Coach Mason's face, bro, because I was getting beat the shit out of every day, you know. And I cried in front of him. He said, it's okay. You're gonna be all right. You're a stud. And I'm happy that I stuck with it because the next year I was starting varsity. You know?
I remember that. And junior year, I took the year off. But, I mean, obviously, you and I, we still kept in touch. I would go to the games and stuff like that. But I just played sophomore year and senior year. And I wish I started younger because I feel like I was pretty late in the game. You know, I had to learn from scratch. Baseball, as much as I loved football, I was better at baseball because I grew up playing it my whole life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I don't know if I told you this. I actually tried out for, like, a youth football program years ago. Like, I was young and I was legit 90 pounds soaking wet, you know. And they put me on, like, I don't know if it was like this all-star team, but it was like kids that, like, they were good. Like, there was like a, I guess they called it the A team, the B team, whatever. Like, I was with the A squad and I got the shit knocked out of me. It was like the Marines for kids in like the fourth grade. Like, and I remember we were doing sprints. We were doing hills. We were doing sprints. And they would line us up with people that we would, you know, compete against. You know, we'd run drills and stuff like that. And I was parting it up. I would race against Chris Monaco. Now, those who are like locals and stuff, they know Chris Monaco. He's fast.
Fast as shit.
I am not beating him in a race. There's no way. And at the very end, you know, after getting my shit knocked in all day, I switched positions with another kid, a fast kid, to go against Monaco, and then I raced this other dude, and I won the race for the team. And this coach was like, "Don't quit, never quit." And you know what? I quit.
Oh, really?
And it stuck in my brain for a very long time. And after I quit that, it transitioned to the following school year. I was failing. Mm-hmm. I had a really rough year in school. And, you know, I had teachers say, you know, to my parents, oh, well, you know, Nick's not going to be, you know, he'll never be a scientist. Or, you know, he'll never be a mathematician. And
that's foul.
And I was like, you know what? I want to be that person that nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't do. So I started really focusing on the school, like really seriously. I was very quiet in school. Like, I would talk to Kevin and the boys in the locker room, but I was quiet. A lot of people didn't even know that I had a New York accent, you know?
True.
I was introverted, and you know, I remember my dad telling me, he was a Marine, and he said, you know, if you think this is hard, could you imagine what the Marines were like? So after I started taking my academics very seriously, I said, okay, now I got to go back out for the football team. I got to give this another shot, because now I'm accomplishing in my academics. I have to see if I have what it takes to do football again, and I did. And then after I did football, I said, now I got to see what the Marines are like.
So then you went to the Marines.
So then I went to a recruiter, and I was 17, and you know, they asked me a bunch of questions, and he's like, "Well, it sounds like, you know, you want to do this, but there's one problem. You're underage. You're 17. I need parental consent, and you need to get your high school diploma before you can go." So I got my mother and father to sign.
And take them away.
Yeah. And then the recruiter was honestly at my high school graduation. So I shipped out a couple weeks after graduation. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do remember that, man. I do remember you telling me that you were going to go to Marines, because at that time we were seniors and we had the same math class. And we had this one teacher. His name was Salo. He was funny as shit.
Oh, my God. What a class.
Yeah, no, that guy was ready to retire. And he really didn't care what you said to him. I used to be like, Salo swallows. He'd be like, what? He said, your mom. I'd be like, what? That's crazy. He'd say, hey, he was nuts.
How about when Kevin dropped a pencil underneath Mr. Salo's desk? And Kevin was like going down to pick it up. Mr. Salo goes, Monica Lewinsky, get up. Monica Lewinsky. I'm like, what the hell?
Dude, he was foul. He was foul. Honestly, the biggest foul play that I ever did, okay? I'm not proud about this moment, but this has happened, okay? The gentleman's mother just passed away. He was away for leave for like a whole month, okay? He was gone, okay? Prior to that, our jokes, our conversations included the joke, your mom. Well,
it was hard on the shake.
Well, he came back. He said some shit. I said, your mom. And he went, no, I went, you're, stopped. And he was like, mom. And I was like, yep. Sorry, man.
I looked at Kevin. I'm like, come on, bro. Too soon, bro.
Way too soon. I'm so bad for that one. But yeah, no, I do remember you going to Marines. And I remember that when you left, you know, you were just like, you were soft, so to speak, bro. I love you to death, bro. I love you to death. I do.
I wasn't aggressive.
Yeah, you were soft.
That's my problem with football was I feel like there were times where I was aggressive, and that's how I got, like, you know, I went from being on like one special teams to two to three to four to all of them, you know, because I was I started getting more aggressive as the year went on. But it was definitely hard for me to tap into the aggressive side of me. Like, I would knock a kid down and then I'd pick him up, you know, and my coach would be like, what? Berjeski. He's like, hands. That was a clean hit. What are you doing picking him up? Yeah. I'm like, sorry, coach. But when I went to the Marines, that's when I had no choice but to get aggressive. You know, I mean, you're fighting, you're doing the most. And it's easy to do things like run pull-ups, push-ups. It's easy to do that when you're healthy. But when you're starving, when you're tired, when you're homesick, when you're just completely depleted, you have to pull something else out of you.
Yeah.
And that's something that,
that's what they call the inner dog.
The inner dog. That's it.
And that dog is a meme of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
The mad dog.
That's crazy, man. I know you went away. And like I said, you went away soft. You came back still respectful, but more cleaned up, in my opinion. You know, mm-hmm. You were a little bit more built. Although you did lose a lot of weight in that whole training and everything like that, you know, but I'm very happy that I'm one of the few people who you reached out to when you got back, you know, and I think it was because you told me straight up, hopefully I'm remembering this right, because I'm always shot, was that you just felt lost, like, in that civilization world when you came back.
You definitely, Kevin pulled me out of
you had a heartbreak, too.
My first heartbreak ever, you know.
I don't think she was pretty. A lot of people do.
A lot of
I did it. I'm sorry.
She was a model in Puerto Rico, bro. I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't date no busted women. I mean, I don't know.
Besides the point,
he pulled me out of a very dark place. For those of you who don't know, like, military lingo, we say Jody. Like, when you go away, Jody's taking care of your girl, you know? You know, Jody is the one that's... I guess, taking your spot when you leave. And that's a lot of the things that the drill instructors will, like, really try to get into your mind with, you know. And I was 18, and, you know, I had a picture of her and all that. And
young
I was,
love.
I was young love, you know, thinking you're going to get married right after high school, you know, and all this other shit. And I came back, and, I mean, listen, no sugarcoating. She was banging her manager at Walmart. And you know, obviously I'm not gonna tolerate it, so but it was actually bad timing, because I just came back from being away for 7 months.
It was a very long time. Yeah,
it was a long time. And then you know, I was really, really skinny. My family would go to work and I'd be home. I had no job. My car was totaled. I had no car. Mm-hmm. And it was like I kind of went into like a little bit of a depression, I guess. You know, it was hard for me to get up in the morning. I remember I was slamming the white Monster energy drinks, and I called Kevin, and he's like, come on, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts and let's just get a coffee and let's talk. And
yeah, it was something we did often.
Yeah.
We did often, yeah.
And he's like, you know, bro, I'm going to get you a job with me. I just started at this new place.
It was a Ahari.
It was the Hari. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted me to like mention like the actual name.
Okay. It's Kalahari Resorts in the Pocono fucking mountains.
Yeah, so they just built it, and I came back, and I'm like, wow, like they really did a good job with this resort. It's beautiful when you pull up, and so I got the interview, and I got hired, and I pretty much not just to make money, but I worked to like occupy my time.
Time out. Sorry, I'm going to have to pause this. Okay, cool. Yep. All right. Now we're live. Okay. So sorry about that, everyone. I was trying to kill a fly, and in the process, I fucked shit up. So as we were saying, I didn't kill the fly neither. It made its way away. as we were saying, you know, we ended up getting the job at Kalahari, you know, and you started with that. So continue. I'm sorry to cut you off.
So, yeah, I just got the job to pretty much just buy time, you know, occupy myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember so it was funny because when I got back and I went through like, I guess my first heartbreak, so to speak, it was the first time I saw a comma in my bank account.
You know, what? Oh, a comma. Oh, okay.
So I'm like, damn, I'm rich. Like,
big stepper.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, yo, I got a comma. I was like, I'm about to go home and buy a Chevy Silverado. Mm-hmm. That's not how money works. You ain't buying a Chevy Silverado with $1,000 in your bank account. So what I did was I got a new wardrobe. I went on a shopping spree, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I guess, so to speak, would like occupy my time, like just going on a shopping spree. And then I found myself broke. Like, no money at all. Like, no car, no nothing. And I remember I was going to sell my gun, actually, mm-hmm. that I had. It was like one of the only things that had a little bit of value that I could sell. And I remember they wanted to give me like $200. And I was like, you know, my dad got me this. Like, he really likes the gun. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. So my dad was like, I was on the phone with him. He's like, oh, you know, you can sell it if you want. But I could tell in his voice, like, he really didn't want me to sell it. And I'm like, Dad, don't worry. No worries. Like, I'll never be broke like this again.
Yeah.
And then when I got that job with you, I worked so much overtime that I made myself sick. I would sleep in the bell closet some nights.
Yeah.
You know, like working 19-hour days, working sometimes 3 days in a row.
No, those days were hell. There were a couple of days where there were snowstorms and there were only two people there, you mm-hmm. and I. You know, I mean, you make a shit ton of money. Don't get me wrong. You know, people are generous when it's tipping or when it's snowing. They want to tip you. But, you know, at the same time, you'd be drained because you're going in and out. And it was a good time overall. I really did enjoy that job. I mean, besides towards the end of when I became a supervisor, because then shit got stressful. And don't ever work with your fans. Don't ever work with your friends. Word of advice.
I hated him ever. As my supervisor.
Fuck you. Did you really? Did you really?
No, he was cool. But I was... Kev, there was... I feel like for the wage that the supervisors, like... I feel like they put more stress on you guys. So, like, at the end of the day, like, you would be stressed. I'd see you stressed. And the vibe just was, like, off. You know what I'm saying?
Extremely stressed out, man. I was like, yo, how hard is it for people to sticker shit and put it on a shelf and just organize it and leave it off? You know, it was like sometimes you would get incompetent people coming through that door. I mean, the turnover rate for that job was god awful. Like
nearly 70%.
Yeah, it was awful. But you know, we had a good time and you ended up getting that job, and I think that's when, like, you know, it all started with those Dunkin'. You know, we used to just sit there, grab Dunkin', talk about life, and just have a good time. And, you know, after Kalahari, I remember then, you know, I would say you were probably like my first real gym partner in adulthood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you and I started going to the gym, and I do, like, they're just weird things that you remember. Like, they're just weird things that are just in your head that you could remember. And the one thing that I could remember for some odd reason is that we went to B-Lux. We got a lot of food. We ate like burgers, fries, shakes, felt fat as hell. Yeah. And then we went next door. No, excuse me. Your sister was there as well. I believe she joined us for that dinner as well. So then, you know, at the end of it, I was like, yeah, I feel so fat. Like, yeah, me too. And I was like, oh, we should like go to the gym.
Oh, you know what, bro? Now I remember that.
You remember this? You remember this?
Now I do. We were sitting at the round table.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things I remember.
It was taking me a moment to remember, but
so then you and I went next door to the gym that was next door. I'm not gonna mention her name because I'm a wanted criminal from them. No, I'm not. I'm not. I cleared my debt. But anyway, so we went to that gym and then we started working out. And then, you know, honestly, that was great. You know, having a gym partner and having someone who was so disciplined and, you know, like a good gym partner. What are characteristics that you need a good gym partner? Someone who would hold you accountable.
Yeah.
Someone who would be like, oh, you're soft. You're going to lay in bed. You got an excuse for what? You know, like that's what a good gym partner is, in my opinion. You know, it's crazy. I just started a gym with two of my friends over here, right? They were like, yo, Kev, join this gym. We about to be here all the time. Well, guess what? I'm the only one going. Yeah. You know, and I'll hit them up and I'll be like, yo, come on, I'm trying to be that accountable friend. Mm-hmm. But they're not, you know, you can't kick some people in the ass as much as you try. You know, sometimes you just got to let them lay there.
You know, it was so funny because, like, I feel like me and Kevin, like Kevin and I, we would go to the gym. The days that I didn't want to go, he wanted to go. And the days that he didn't want to go, I would want to go. So there was, I remember there was one morning I was like, you know, Kev, you know, I'm sore, you know, I'm not really feeling it today. Like, and we would go at like, no shit, 5:45 in the morning every day.
Yeah, very early. Yeah.
5:45 in the morning, same people in there. It was pretty quiet around that time, but same people in there every morning. I'm like, yo, Kev, I'm not feeling it, man. I'm sore. Like, and he's like, fuck you, we're going. And I'm like, all right, bet, we're going. And then he didn't want to go. He's like, it's cold. And that gym doesn't have heat, really.
It didn't have heat.
He's like, it's cold, bro. Like, we're in the winter in the Poconos. Like, it's cold. I don't want to go. And I was like, he's like, my bed is warm and comfy. And I said, the gym is warm and comfy. So we're going. And we went.
Yeah, no, we push each other. You know, I think that has to do with, you know, the strong friendship that we had. We always had like a little bit. It wasn't much of like a rivalry, you know. It's just like a respect for each other and wanted to see each other do good for each other, you know. And it was honestly, I think that really originated in football when we were getting kicked the shit out of every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, listen, man, we're suffering, but at least we're suffering together, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's really true. What it is. You know, with the gym, we're suffering. We're struggling with weight. But hey, at least we're struggling together, you know, and that's really what it is. So
exactly.
It was a good time, man. It really is. And it's led to the relationship that we have now, which is like within a few months, we won't speak. We'll hit each other up. And it's like, you know, we didn't miss a beat, you know, and like You came on the podcast. I'm really happy for you to be here because, like, you know, you're going to be moving soon.
Yes.
You know, you're going to be moving soon. You're going to be going to Texas. You're going to be going to, you know, I feel like you've wanted to go to that state for a long time, you know. So I'm happy for you. You're going to be going with Mr. DJ Henny Hen. He's the guy who, you know, obviously helped create the theme song for the podcast. You know, always forever grateful for him. Excuse me. So it's like, it's sad to see you go, right? You know, everybody's going to be like, oh, no, he's gone. He's not dying. He's just going. That's all he's doing. Yeah. So
I'll be back. You know, I told my family, I'm like, look, I could always catch a flight. I mean, it's not really a big deal, you know. I left for the military for a long time. I didn't have my phone.
Yeah.
Now I have FaceTime. Like, I could call anytime, you know.
Well, let's talk about the military real quick. I feel like there's so many questions that a lot of people would have that, you know, you may be able to answer. Like one of the great experiences that I think you were a part of is that you were. So what was your job in the Marines? Go ahead.
I was a grunt. I was in the infantry. I specialized in mortars, which is basically it's like indirect fire. Like if you ever see people like put around in a, like a long tube. And then they, you know, it shoots for like miles away. That's what I did. So it was a tube that wasn't as big as artillery. Artillery goes a lot much further, but it was more mobile. You know, like I could be on a patrol with the riflemen, the infantry platoon. I could be on a patrol with them, and then I could shoot a 60-millimeter mortar, which is a shorter barrel. I could shoot it from handheld, and then. If I was doing what we call conventional shoots, we set a base plate down. A base plate is basically what the tube sits in. And when you fire the first round, the base plate sinks. So it has a steady base so that the tube isn't flying all over the place when you're shooting.
It's like stabilization. Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, cool. By just the recoil.
Yeah. So the first round of the day, the whole base plate sinks, you know. Now, when I was in 29 Palms, California, it's the Mojave Desert. So...
crazy. It's like, what an experience.
Hell of an experience. We had a party for me right before I went.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember I got a video of you walking out the door.
Yeah.
Saying farewell. And then you came back, you were like, forgot my keys.
I forgot some. but yeah, like the 29 Palms terrain was like, it was like hard rock sand.
Explain the terrain, explain the temperatures, explain the environmental battles that you experience in the Mojave Desert.
So basically, 29 Palms, California is the Mojave Desert in California. That was my first annual training event in the summer of 2017. I went, and I think it was the summertime. I want to say it was July.
It was the summertime. Yeah, I remember that.
It would be like 130 during the day, 130 degrees, and you got a full combat load on you, and then it would go down to like 99 at night, and you'd be like shivering because the it's a big difference. It's a big drop.
Yeah, it's 40 degrees, yeah.
Yeah, but 29 Palms, it doesn't rain a lot, but it's really crazy weather because, like, if it rains, it floods.
Really?
Yeah. 29 Palms is a
And it's just sand.
It's sand. It's sand and rock, and the mountains look like, they look like brown ash. That's the best way I could describe it.
What were your sleeping arrangements like?
So we had like, Kwanzaa huts. They kind of look like, the best way I could describe it is like it looks like a soda can tilted on its side.
Okay, yeah.
and they get hot. I mean, they're metal, so they get really hot. You wake up in a pool of your own sweat.
It's like a metal bunk, huh?
Correct. And then, wow. But then when we would go out on like, you know, for ranges and stuff like that, we would just sleep in a sleeping bag like right outside, you know, in the middle of the desert. We'll just rack out pretty much
in the sand.
In the sand, yeah.
Mm. Mm-mm. And have you ever woken up with like a scorpion next to you or something like that?
I actually, if I didn't have my hoodie on, I could show you. I actually got bit by, like, I don't know what it was. I have like two fang marks on my arm from 29 Palms.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just there. It's there for years. Like, I have like a little, like a little hole. Like it's like two fang marks in my arm. Yeah.
That's crazy. And what, they just like, did you get medical attention? Did you feel it as soon as you woke up or did someone notice it?
I noticed it.
Yeah.
Did I get medical attention? No, I didn't. Who knows? Hopefully I don't suffer the consequences later on.
I mean, you've been alive for this long. You still got,
I don't know.
How many, you can move, feel your fingers, right?
Yeah, right now.
All right. Well. Who knows? Years from now, we'll see. Well, see, nah, man, that, honestly, when you went away for that trip and I knew where you were going, I was like, damn, bro, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And not to mention the branch that you're in, you know, mm-hmm. the Marine, you know, those toughest sons of bitches around, the few, the proud. It's not the many, right?
Yeah, the few. The few, the proud, the brave.
The brave.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't make sense. Why would you say the few, the proud, the many? There's not many. There's only a few.
No. And then my second AT, I went to Ukraine.
Remember that's something that I think is fucking mind blowing because like what's going on in the world right now with you know, Ukraine and Russia, and talk about that experience, man. I know you went over there to train other mortarmen, Ukrainian soldiers, you know. And at that point, how many years were you already in the service, and how far of as a rank were you up to? Did you even think you'd be doing something like that? You think you'd be teaching another group, another battalion, or whatever to how to fuck shit up?
No, I didn't. And I think what was pretty cool was, you know, I went down there and I thought that like I was going to be training them like everything from the ground up. And they're actually, there's a lot of badasses that I met. You know, a lot of them, I mean, with the whole situation that they had in 2014, a lot of them saw combat. They were pretty locked on. We were just training them on our weapon systems. And then we did like joint force exercises with the Ukrainians, the Moldovians, the Georgians. And, there was a big language barrier, but we had a lot of translators and, you know, we would use our phones to translate and whatnot. And I met a lot of good people and kept in touch with them over the years. But after the conflict going on right now, they took all their social media down. And, you know, I know the place where I was, it's in shambles. You know, I was on a base called Shroki Lan, and then I landed in Odessa Airport, and I was in the city of Mykolaiv, and it was a good time. But I know that place looks very different right now.
Yeah, it does look very different. And I remember when everything started off, the conflict going on over there. I remember you said good luck to my Ukrainian brothers. You know, may you fight, and you know, just be in that element. You know, use what you learned, and that's rough though. Like, you know, I can only imagine what respectfully, what it might do to your psyche, you know, thinking like, fuck, man, I was just there. I was just showing these fellas how to do this, right? And now they're using it. It's like, it's so crazy to think, because me as a civilian, you know, I'm just like, what do? I run. That's all I can do, you know, run and fight if I have to, you know what I mean? But ideally, I want to run. If that were to happen in our home country, it'd be mind blowing. I wouldn't know how to deal with it, you know? So it's just like, much respect to you and everything going on, man.
Thank you. Yeah. It was kind of one of those things where like it wasn't anticipated.
No.
To be honest, I would see like Russian fighter jets flying overhead. And we actually, when I would talk to the guys, it was a matter of fact of, it's not if it'll happen, it's when it will happen. Like they were.
And that was what, 2 years before?
2018.
Yeah.
I went there.
Four years ago then. Yeah. 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going on 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Feels like yesterday.
I know, right? It's unbelievable because it's crazy. And at that time, I think I was still living in the Poconos, you know, so we would still hang out pretty often. And when you went over to those, it was crazy. So, yeah, man, hats off to you. Are you still in the service or are you signed out?
No, I'm out. I just got out. Technically, I'm in the inactive ready reserves, which is like basically two years on call in case like
something
mass chaos, you know, 9/11, something like that happens again. But no, I'm out.
God forbid.
You know, I am out, you know, and I got my VA home loan benefit and did everything the right way. That's the way I wanted to go out. I wanted to do it the honorable way. And that's I really couldn't ask for it to finish off the contract any way better.
Yeah, man. Good for you, man. Good for you. Thanks for doing that. Like I said, as a Marine, I got respect for you, whether you're a Marine or not. You know, I just know you're a certified badass. That's really it. Those beautiful Marine balls, being able to dress up. You know, those seem like a great event.
Great time. The nights I can't remember with the men, I'll never forget. You know, that's what we say. You know, we work hard, but we played hard. The Marines, we played hard. You know?
Band of brothers right there, man. All right, so, hey, I want to talk about a time that you played hard and you might have played a little bit too hard, if you don't mind, all right? So, ladies and gentlemen, we just went through the whole spiel that my boy was a Marine, but we all have our vices, and we all get curious every now and then, okay? So, as you all know from episode 1 with Canna Poppy, I love cannabis, okay? So, I was chilling with homie Nick over here, and, you know, he decided to try cannabis one day. Well, let me just tell you, this was the most legendary, funniest fucking night that I've ever experienced, bro. This man had the munchies like no other, okay?
Yeah, it's terrible.
So let's go ahead and start the story. I'm going to start it from my perspective, and then I'll let you chime in when... I want to see where your thought process was at. If you can think about the thought process when I cut off, I want you to fill in the blanks here, okay?
I was on Mars, bro. I can't remember.
Before you were on Mars, okay? So, like I said, I enjoy cannabis. You know, my one buddy who was our supervisor, coworker at the time, he really enjoyed cannabis as well. So I would go over often and smoke some marijuana with my homie. But then one time Nick came, right? And they made a joke saying, yo, Nick, you gonna smoke tonight? And Nick was like, yeah, probably. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean you gonna smoke? So, you know, we go in the room. My buddy and I were smoking, and I passed it back to my buddy, and my buddy generously passed it to Nick.
Yeah. I was like one of the, like, I had no desire to do it, you know? Like, I mean, I grew up, I've seen a lot of bad things that it could lead to. So I just never really had the desire to like do it. But I know it's legal in a lot of places. I knew it was going to get to that point. And I was just kind of at a point where I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to try and see what this hype is about, I might as well try with people I trust, you know? And we go to the apartment, and, you know, I smell it, and, you know, they're passing it around, and they're passing multiple around, okay? And I give it a puff, and I think the first time I smoked it like a cigar, and you're like, no, you gotta inhale it.
Yeah. Like so, a casual...
Yeah.
Like, are you wasting that shit?
So I started doing it the proper way. And I'm like, this is nothing. Like, this is nothing. And like, nah, just wait. It's called smacked for a reason.
Yo, hold up. Time out. And I could tell he really thought it was nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because He took his first proper hit. Did his thing.
Yeah.
You fucking smacked that shit like 4 to 5 times, yeah, and then you gave it back.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, yo, it's funny because I'm, from my perspective, right, I don't even, and not to mention, as someone who doesn't do that, you didn't just take your first five and call it quits. You took the whole joint down with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the whole thing down with us, right? Then you're just sitting there and you're just like, and I'm like, yo, Nick, you good? My buddy goes, yo, he's smacked. And he was so smacked, he was smacked. Okay. He was fucked up. He was like, yo, Nick, you want some water?
I just remember like trying to, I slowly felt myself fading away. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know where I'm going from here. You know, like I am not on planet Earth. Like I'm like trying to focus on, like, I think you guys were playing UFC.
You joining the Martian up.
Yeah, I'm like, I was like a space cadet. But I remember I'm like, I think I'm going to be sick. I'm like, I need to get a drink of water. And they go in the kitchen and I see my buddy, it was his apartment. I saw his son looking at me.
Staring at him.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Like I'm such a terrible person. Like, I just, like, I felt like shit. I was like, I am a bad person. And I had plans with my girl at the time, like, my ex-girlfriend. We had plans to link up. And this experience took a little longer than I thought. And I remember she called me, and she's like, are we seeing each other or not? And I'm like, I don't think so. I said, I'm fucking smacked. And she's like, what? Like, are you kidding me? I'm like, look, I think I just need to eat something. And like, cause I'm thinking like from when you drink, you eat a little something, you're fine.
Get
you
the
know?
Munchies.
And so I said, meet me over at Wawa.
He said, meet me outside.
Meet me at Wawa. And she pulls up and I'll never forget this. She had a black turtleneck on and like her long hair with like side bangs. And I start hysterically, like, laughing my ass off. And I started singing Kim Possible theme song. Because she had the whole getup, you know. She had the makeup, the hair, the black turtleneck. And I'm at Wawa singing Call Me, Beat Me If You Want to Reach Me. And, and like, Kevin's calling me. He's like, yo, where are you? I'm like, I'm at Wawa, bro. Like, I need to get something in my system. And...
So who you with? So I'm with Kim Possible.
I paid for the Wawa thing and I lost my receipt. And I'm like, I'm looking all around the register. There's other customers paying and I'm just space cadet in there. And I knew I was smacked because I didn't even offer my girlfriend at the time if she wanted anything to eat. That's not like me. I just was like, yo, ordering something, paid, lost my receipt, took the sandwich. Bounced, and then we met you guys.
Yeah, no. Nah, so you ate that sandwich. You devoured a foot long, like a foot long. Not even a half a Wawa sandwich. He devoured a whole sub. Okay,
nah, bro. It. That shit was chilling in the car.
What?
This shit was half of it was chilling in the car. Like
what,
I dropped it. No, like I was like I couldn't feel my mouth was tingly. Like I couldn't feel my mouth, bro.
My man was high.
Bro. I was fucked.
My man was high.
I couldn't even eat. Like, and I remember on the way to meet you at Ruby Tuesday.
Nah, yeah. So we went. Was it Ruby? Yeah, it was Ruby Tuesday. Yeah, it was Ruby Tuesday. So then we went to Ruby Tuesday. Go ahead. While you were trying to meet me, what happened?
I remember being in the car, like, yo, like I see shit flying past me. Like I'm like that messed up. Like I didn't know where I was. So when I walk in, I see all you guys, and you guys were smacked too, and I see you guys, and I'm dying laughing.
Yo, not to mention, this was all self-inflicted. Don't think I'm a bad influence. He took it upon himself to do that many joint hits, all right? He took the joint from hits from our buddy's hand, not my hand. I asked him if you were sure. He said yes. So I said, all right.
I needed to experience it. Look, if I'm going to experience it, I had to experience it like that, because that's, I mean... If you just do it a little bit, you're like, all right, let me try again. Like, no, I got my experience.
So then we go to Ruby Tuesdays. This is the best part. So then we go to Ruby Tuesdays, and we have a big round table because there was a group of us, right? And we all go around. We all take our orders, da-da-da, right? Then the waitress gets to Nick. This waitress is about probably 16 or 17 years old, young teenager, you know. And so Nick goes, she goes, and what will you have? And he goes, I'll take the chicken and fries, ma'am, and a Coke. And she went, okay, small or large? And everyone literally, like, he was like, in regards to the drink, ma'am? She, like, she's 16, 17. You calling her ma'am, bro? Like, you trying to be respectful. She's old. You trying to make her look old. So anyway, so he's like, in regards to the drink, ma'am? She's like, no, in regards to the chicken and the fries. And he goes, what? And then, like, we literally, all of us, like, this is not an exaggeration. I can only imagine how fucking panicked you were, because all of us were like, small or large, Nick, small or large. Yo, Nick, small or large. Come on, bro, small or large. So I shit you not, Nick and I are sitting across from the table with each other, right? Circular table. Doesn't answer the woman. And he goes, Kevin, may I have a word with you in the restroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just got up and left. And the woman was so confused. She was just there with a pen and a paper and just, the fuck? Small, large.
And you know what's the, you know what was the really messed up part was, like, the person sitting next to me, my ex-girlfriend, she got the same thing. Like, she got, we all had waters. We all had water at the time. I had a water in front of me. So yeah. What drink was I talking about? The water was in front of me. And she goes, she says to my ex, oh, what would you like? She said, chicken tenders and fries. And, oh, okay. There's two different portion sizes. Would you like the small or the large? Small's fine. Asked me the same question. I'm like, what? Small or large? And I'm like, and in my head, I think I'm saying small. But what everything that's coming out of my mouth is not making sense to her. So now I'm like, am I not speaking clearly? And I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? Small or large? I'm like, bro, what? And everybody's cracking up laughing. There's other tables that see I'm space cadet. So now I'm really paranoid.
Fucking smacked.
And I said, Kev, I need to speak with you right now.
In the bathroom, though. Nonetheless, you know, he said, Kev, may I have a word with you in the restroom? And just like that. Kev, man, have a word with you in the restroom? And so I went in the restroom, right? And I'm like, yo, Nick, bro, relax. You're good, bro. You're good. Bro, I'm freaking the fuck out right now. I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm like, yo. I'm like, take a deep breath, bro. I got some eye drops in the car. Uh-huh. It might help you out. You know, sometimes when your eyes are clear, you know, that shit will help you out. He's like, I'll take the eye drops, bro. Please, just, I'm fucking spaced out right now. I was like, all right, bet. So we went outside. We got the fucking eye drops. We went back inside. You ate the food. And then.
I didn't know how to pay.
Did you?
I said, listen, if I don't know what I'm doing and the check comes, please pull the green card out of my wallet. I didn't know. I did not know.
Who would you say that to? Your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I was like, I don't know where I'm going to be in the matter of 10 minutes. So if I don't know what to do with this receipt that comes to the table, I said, pull the card out of my wallet.
Yo, so then, right, you look at me, we go back to our buddy's place and you're like, yo, Kev, I don't think I can go home tonight. And I'm like, yeah, nah, fuck no. You ain't going home, bro. Your father, you smacked the shit out of you. Your mother, nah, no way. You ain't going home. He's like, can I stay at your place? I'm like, yeah, of course. I'll drive us. Feel free, you know, just take the car or sit down. We get back to my place, bro. You proceeded to eat like 3 family-sized bags of chips, bro.
Yeah, that shit was nuts.
He ate 3 family-sized bags of chips. And I'm like, all right, man, whatever. Just eat up.
Who else was there?
I honestly think Charlie was there.
Yeah. No, he was. I didn't know if he was the one that took the ride back with us.
Possibly, yeah, because he lived in the same development.
Okay, yeah, it probably was.
He lived in the same development. Yeah, man. That was your first time getting high. I was happy I was there. Probably your first and last, but it was one hell of a fucking experience. Funny as shit, bro. Honestly, one of the best times. So, yeah, man, let me ask you. What do you think, man? Am I any different from, like, when I'm podcasting and just talking regular?
No, I think when I was working, I was commuting to New York City every day from the Poconos for work, and I would put on a podcast, and a lot of times I would listen to Middleman Podcast. I know a lot of people that have been on this podcast, and I heard a lot of episodes, people I didn't know, and it was cool, like, watching you lead the conversation and everything like that. And I think that this podcast has a lot of Kevin's personality in it, you know, so it's... No, I feel like it is you, but I think that you take it more seriously because you literally, you breathed it into life, you know? I remember when, in 2019, I was saying for a long time, you know, I want to lose a lot of weight, I want to get shredded, I wanted this, I wanted that. In 2019, I did get like that. You know, I mean, it was, I mean, how lean I got was not, you can't maintain it. You know, I was shredded for a little while, but then, you know, life happens, you know, you start, you know, eating at your maintenance calories, this and that. But Kevin hit me up and he said, yo, bro, you said you were going to do it and you did it. And I'm like, damn, like, he's right. You know, I did it. And I think that looking at the whole show now, you said you were going to do it and you did it. And it's the beginning, you know, that this podcast is going to keep going as long as you stay consistent. But as of right now, I see you taking it seriously and it's going to go places.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. So for people who think that I'm not who I am in front of a camera, that there's two different people, my buddy says I'm not. I'm the same me. And that means a lot, mm-hmm. You know, and that's important. It really is important, absolutely. You know, because it's like I said it in the end of episode 50. I was like, I don't want to do this fake it to make it type of attitude. Yeah. Like, that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be who I am. And if you fuck with me, you fuck with me. If you don't fuck with me, you don't. It's okay. And if you like the podcast, you like the podcast, you know? So it's like, we're just going to keep upgrading. You know, we got the tablecloth now.
It's official.
Literally got here today. We got these little condensers on a mic and we have this beautiful sign right here, which I cannot be more grateful for. It was gifted. It was gifted. Okay. So let me tell you this. Okay. It was funded by my older brother. Shout out to you, Christopher Martinez. You know who you are. Rock on every day.
Big man, Chris.
And it was created by Ensembles Design. Who the fuck is designing your shit? Okay. Also known as Charlie from that story. Charlie created it. Yep. So, like, you know, it's like when I get gifts like that from people, you know, obviously my family's going to support me. That's huge, right? My family's going to support me. Charlie, my brother, their family, right?
Right.
When friends support you, that's another thing as well. You know, like, I want more support in my back, you know, and it's awesome. It really mm-hmm. is that people want to come on a podcast. But on the same token, Nick, I unfortunately can't say that about the crowd who we've hung around with, you yeah. know, as far as, like, absolutely. You know, if they really do want to support and bring my dreams to life, you know, help me out a little bit. That's it, you know. But I'm happy you're here. I'm happy that I've got some real ones in the friend group. You know, I've talked about reevaluating my life and reevaluating friends. That happens often. But I know for sure you're going to be a brother for life, you know, because
absolutely, 100%.
My motherfucking loves you, man.
Yeah, yeah. She's like my second mom, you know?
Yeah, she's so. Like, Nikki yeah. Hans. Yeah, she loves you, man. She loves you. Hey, can you say water real quick?
Water.
All right. I love your accent, bro. And I honestly thought that a lot of people would love to hear you speak. Not because of, well, honestly, because of who you are as a person. You know, I feel like you are very genuine and nice with everyone, you know? So
I try.
Like, you could be fucking mayor of Toby Hanna if you really wanted to. Because people know you, you know what I mean? And your accent is fucking hilarious, bro. I really love the accent. If I had to interpret it and try to do my best, I'd be like, yeah, I parked that car.
Yeah.
That's what I got for you, man.
Yeah, a lot of people confuse the, like, Staten Island accent from Boston, but like a Boston, somebody from Boston will say, you know, park the car. I say park the car.
Parked. There's a difference.
It's a little bit of a difference, you know.
Oh, man, are you excited for Texas?
I'm excited. I'm nervous, you know. I'm a family man, you mm-hmm. know. I don't have family out there, but, well, actually, I do have a cousin, but he's kind of like long distance cousin, you know. He's out in like Dallas or okay. San Antonio, I think, one of them. But you know, I'm going right like south side of Houston. And I'm excited. I've been there a couple times, but I'm nervous, you know. I'm just kind of taking a leap and we'll see what happens, man.
Life. That's what you gotta do, man. That's what you gotta do. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You have a very sociable you know, attitude to yourself. You could talk to people, you'll be just fine.
Thank you.
I mean, they're gonna shit on you because you have an accent.
Yeah, I'm a Yankee.
They're like, you
Yankee for life.
Dirty Yank, you know. Yeah. Fuck those Houston Astros, please.
I'll be rocking my Mets hat down there, so no worries.
I'm not going to flip that bird to the camera. I'm not going to do that. All right, but hey, Nick, we're going to start wrapping things up, man. It's been a great time having you here. I like to give the floor to my guests before we get signed off. And guys, stick around for tea time. If you are listening to this on Spotify, Apple, any podcasting platform, please tune in to the YouTube channel at the_middleman_podcast and check out 15 to 20 minutes of extra bonus content with my boy here, Nikki Hands. It's called Tea Time, not brought to you by Arizona Iced Tea, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So before we get into that, Nick, the floor is yours. Go ahead and sign us off. Any meaningful messages you want to drop for the people? You know, anything at all.
I just wanted to say it's been a long time coming. You know, I know we've been trying to set this up for a long time, and I've been waiting for, my story is going to get more interesting. It's going to get more interesting. But there's no better time than now. And I love to see what you did. You know, you have a good support team. You got a good team here. And this place is official. So thanks for having me, bro.
Of course, man. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. So much luck to you and in Texas. I'll make sure to get you a housewarming gift such as assless chaps. I really appreciate you coming on, bro. Much love for you. Much love for your family, brother for life, and everyone. Thank you for listening to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man of middle, Kevin Martinez, Kmart with 2 T's, 3, 2, 1. Signing out. Peace out. All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen, if you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.